The scripture reading for today is from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peacefully?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes, and he was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. This ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in an attitude of prayer? We thank you, Lord, for this day, and we're grateful. We thank you for your word as well. And we come today as people of the word. In other words, as people that are reminded through this holy inspired word that we belong to you, that you will continue to be in our lives. Keep us open to those truths as we seek to live out our days as disciples of Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. It was a normal church service. People were gathering and they were waving to people and greeting individuals that they knew, maybe not necessarily paying attention to people that they didn't know. That happens too often, by the way. That's why I have us make sure and look at one another so that we realize that we're all in this together. If you haven't met somebody and they're in church, that's especially the time just to be able to say, you know, God loves you. I do too. It's a much more comfortable setting than Fry's or Walmart to do that, although maybe it's needed there as well. But it was one of those services where people were kind of just, you know, milling around. And then all of a sudden there was an individual that came in, and they could actually sense the presence of this individual before they saw him because of his smell. And he came in to the sanctuary, and he was really disheveled, and he had a number of layers of clothing on, as is apt for those who are homeless. You know, they have everything. It's not like they can go and change clothes someplace. They don't have a place to go to. This person had layers of clothing on, and they smelled, and not particularly well kept, of course, and they sat down, and in a subtle way, and as a subtle way as quote unquote good Christians can, there were some that kind of moved away from him. And then as the time for worship to actually start came closer and closer, this individual slowly but surely sauntered up to the pulpit, took off his sunglasses and hat and the outer jacket, and it was their pastor. I don't think that he had to preach another word that day. Looks can be deceiving. It's a true story, by the way. Looks can be deceiving. Certainly, whenever somebody's all shined up, clean, smells nice, they're more pleasant to be around. But as the person who is grubby, let's say, disheveled, maybe not neat and nice and tidy, could God actually choose to work through them as well? That's the question to at least be considered. Before I get to David, I want to do a little bit of background on this story that we heard today. We understand that the sitting king was not going to be removed anytime quickly, at least. Saul was the sitting king, still the one in power, and yet God recognized that he had lost his way, certainly. That's what happens whenever we become so turned in to ourselves, whenever we become about getting mine first, whenever we become about accumulation. That's what happens. We really forget about God. And it's not something to chastise somebody over, but it is something to be aware of. Because if we're more interested in accumulation and about our own agenda than about God, then we really can't call ourselves Christians. I'm just saying that. That's just a reality. Saul was in that position. Now, of course, this was before Christ, of course, so there wasn't any such thing as a Christian, but certainly there were people of God and men and women of God. Saul was not one of them anymore. So God sends out Samuel as a holy man, as one who was truly open to following God. Samuel had been in some hairy situations before and against some really powerful people, and he still followed God. He trusted. You know, sometimes we think these are just kind of stories, but this is real historical fact as well. Incidents that took place. Samuel being willing to go up against the powers of that age, the strength, the greatest worldly powers of that age, and say, you know what, God is seeking something different. And he goes to where God guides him to go, to Jesse, and starts talking about searching for another leader with God's heart. And a leader that God would be calling. And it's kind of an amazing thing that happens because Jesse says, okay, sure. Well, that's kind of an amazing thing. Okay, somebody calls and says, hey, one of your kids is going to be next God's next leader. You'll say, have you seen their room? Okay, I mean, did you hear how they talked to me last night? I mean, you see the grades? I mean, what, are you sure? Okay, we'll do it, God. And Jesse's thinking, well, oldest son, he had the place of honor in the Jewish tradition, that household. The oldest son, certainly we understand he was striking in appearance. And so we're thinking, if we stand back and look on this, okay, this is going to be easy. And Jesse must have been thinking that too. It's going to be real quick. Then I can get on my way and Samuel can take my son, the anointed one, the next leader. We'll be fine. Doesn't happen. In God's economy, when God is moving, surprising things happen. And so that's why whenever I say to people, whatever age you are, wherever you are in life, whatever you've come out of, whatever you feel you're going into, God, if you're open to Him, is going to be at work in your life. All right? Now, He may not be calling you to be a leader, But God is going to be at work in your life. This story reminds us that God works in surprising ways, doesn't he? And he calls people that you would never expect. But it's up to God. It's not up to us. Isn't that a relief, by the way? Whew! Isn't that a relief that we're not God? Wow. I'm really happy about that, in fact. That's probably the thing I'm most joyful for each and every day. That it's God who's the one in control, not Neil. God is the one who's in control in this situation as well. One son after another. And finally, when all the sons that Jesse probably felt were of caliber, quote-unquote, to be leaders, were exhausted, Samuel says, well, there has to be somebody else, right? That's when we think about David. Now we can get to him. You know, I was talking about people who were cleaning up around the church yesterday, right in the midst and the muck of life and pulling weeds and getting dirt underneath their fingernails and sweat and getting sunburn and all sorts of stuff, being right in the grub of life. Well, David was one of those men, okay? He was in the grubbiness of life, and he was out in the shepherd's field. He was out shepherding, and he was knee deep in pasture, let's say that, okay? And he was in the midst of it, all right? Now, of all people to call, come on in here, David. He didn't have time to clean up, didn't have time to run in the tent, take a shower, put on his new robe or anything like that. What he had on was what he had on. And this is the one that comes before Samuel and says, this is him. This is him. That's the one. Now, appearances certainly were deceiving here because he wasn't the tallest. In fact, the language of the Bible kind of references that he was maybe even the shortest in stature. But there was something that he was doing that shouldn't have been an indication to his leadership that he would offer in the future. He was shepherding. And you see, kings at that time, worldly kings even at that time, often used that shepherding image to refer to what they did. They shepherded their people. David was a shepherd, so he knew how to do it. And he knew to take care of living creatures that were his responsibility. And so initially, he was going to be a great choice for a king. Now, this is more than a story that gives hope to all of those who were ever chosen last for dodgeball, okay? Or ever picked last for any sport. This is more than that. This is about being willing to trust in God and in God's plan, even when it seems to go against what makes sense, even when it seems to go against where our comfort level is, even when it seems to smack right against all of our planning. We need to follow God's path and guidance in our lives. In this scripture passage today, it speaks about Samuel taking the horn of oil, anointing David in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Who is the one who is really doing the work here? Sure, Samuel was sent as a representative. Jesse had a part to play. All the brothers actually had a part to play. And David had a key part to play. But who is the one who is really at work here? It's God. It's God's discernment that is at work first. It's God's courage that is at work next. And it's God's strength that is at work lastly. Discernment. God's discernment. To be able to kind of get our own plans out of the way, really. And to lay aside our own agendas and say, Lord, where will you guide me? Then whenever God gives us that answer, gives us some direction there, to have the courage to be willing to step forward. Okay? Because it may be in a direction that you didn't expect. Has God ever led you in a direction that you didn't expect? I'll raise my hand at least. And I'm not just talking about coming to Yuma. I'm talking about ministry in general and all sorts of places throughout that ministry. No question about it. Love being here, but there are a lot of twists and turns whenever we're willing, willing to have the courage to follow where God guides us. And then the strength to be willing to follow through. Because whenever we have that courage, certainly, as Samuel did, okay, then as David did, to say, okay, even with the muck of the meadow still on him, he says, okay, I'm ready. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready to follow. I think so. It took a lot of strength to continue on that path. Being a Christian, you see, is not an easy thing, but it is a blessed thing. Does that mean that everything that we do is going to be blessed? No. Does that mean that I'm always feeling chipper and fine and happy? Whenever somebody asks me how I'm doing, I say blessed? No. What it means is that God is in control. And we can realize that. And what it means is that nothing can separate us from God. And I'm talking about nothing can separate us from God. God is at work in your life right now. That's what it means to be blessed. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to have that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ that enables us to continue to follow God's path even when it's difficult, even when we wonder where it will lead. For each and every person here, I invite you, as you come forward for the elements of communion this morning, to realize one thing. That God, just like He did for Samuel, just like He did for David, and just like He's done for each and every person that's been willing to follow His guidance in their lives, will give you what you need to follow His path, will sustain you. You know, you actually taste of God's goodness today. You know, this is a great illustration for the message today. God sustaining us. We take in His goodness, and we remember that He is with us each and every step of the way. I invite the communion stewards that are going to be serving to come forward at this time as we bless the elements. Thank you so much for being willing to do this today. The disciples, whenever they gathered with Jesus, were probably surprised by God's grace, just like David and everybody else were surprised by how God worked. Whenever He chose David, the disciples were surprised because they were gathering for a meal and they didn't necessarily expect anything extraordinary, but it happened nonetheless. That's what happens in God's world. Extraordinary things happen whether we're ready for it or not, or whether we're planning for it or not. Jesus said, this is not simply bread for your stomachs. This is not simply an ordinary meal. This is my body, and it's broken for you. As you eat it, know that you will never be alone, and know that you are part of something much greater than you can ever imagine. This is the body of Christ, broken for the people of God, and you are the people of God. Thanks be to God. Then after the supper, as the wine was poured out, He said, this is something that's more than something that will quench your thirst. Certainly it will do that, but it's something else altogether. It is my blood, and it's poured out for you. And as you receive it today, remember that God offers you forgiveness. So as He leads you on a path, Jesus is saying, know that He will always equip you to follow that path as well. You won't have to carry extra burdens because God has forgiven you of those and you can lay those at the cross. And this cup reminds us of the salvation that we have through Christ and a relationship that we have with God. The blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins, and for the people of God, and we are those people. Thanks be to God.